Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. And today, well, Ukraine and Russia war set weird with me from the beginning. And I knew I wasn't informed. And I also knew just inherently that if I listened to news, I wouldn't be informed. There would be things as soon as I delved into it that were verifiably false in the narrative. Today, I look into it, barely, accidentally, and I see an article, Henningsen on GB News, Western media politicians are clueless on Ukraine. There was an agreement in place by the United Nations with, I think, France and somebody was supposed to, you know, kind of monitor slash enforce about two breakaway republics of Ukraine that would prefer to break away and be on their own and or go back to Russia. Not sure which, but he'll say it here probably. And there's been a UN agreement on it. It has not been enforced, and the Ukraine has outright been ignoring it. Therefore, these two republics have suffered mass atrocities. And meanwhile, the narrative is as though the Ukraine, Russia, is violating the UN agreement, which was about an 8-year-old agreement. I don't know. The conflict is 8 years old. And so you've got that. And then you have, he'll then talk about things like keeping political leaders from being able to travel so that they can have an accord in a neutral place. So it really is one of those where you look back at FDR prior to World War II, and he was doing things that were catalyzing issues with Japan. At the very least, he was doing that. You can go look at more stuff than that. But, you know, how do we get America to enter the war? That's apparently what FDR was trying to do. I mean, there's whole books on it. I'm not going to go into it. And this is what this type of thing reminds me of. We'll have an agreement, a United Nations agreement, that the Ukraine must follow, trying to negotiate peace. And instead, we will ignore it. We will allow them to cut off those republics in any number of ways. We will allow the Ukraine to kill a bunch of innocents in a civil war. And then when somebody tries to intercede as an international community, we will leave out the context of the other side entirely. Up to and including, oh yeah, the Ukraine was ignoring UN accords all along, and then aggravate them more, like trying to keep leaders from being able to travel, which is insane. That's what leaders are for. Also, then cutting off entire banks. Here it is. Again, this is a Patrick Henningsen, which appears like he'd be a good follow, because right over here I see something about what's behind the Ukraine crisis, the Great Game 2.0 by Patrick Henningsen. That's in New Dawn Magazine's March-April issue. So I'm sure this is going to be really interesting stuff on GBN News, on 21stCenturyWire.com, 2022-02-27, with slashes in between those little spots. Henningsen on GB News, Western media politicians are clueless on Ukraine. So here we go. Go ahead and listen to this.
Mm-hmm. So we will now turn the conversation towards the international response to the crisis. Speaking this week, Prime Minister Boris Johnson said there were some very grim days ahead for Ukraine.
So the question is, has our response been enough, and should we and other Western nations be doing more? Well, joining us to discuss this and the situation as a whole is geopolitical analyst and journalist Patrick Henningsen. Patrick, thank you for joining us this morning. What has your read been of the international response in the past few days? I think particularly now seeing the international community come together and call for Russia to be cut out of SWIFT.
I think we have to be very, very cautious about the measures that are being taken. Certainly, if you look back in history, one major faux pas was already committed by the West, in which they lobbied sanctions onto Russia just for recognizing the breakaway republics of Donetsk and Lugansk. That's not against international law to recognize the independence of these two states, but yet they did that, and they signaled to Russia at that point that, you know, going to sanction you anyway, and members of your parliament for voting to recognize these breakaway republics. And so Russia at that point has nothing to lose. That's a basically sanctions 101 is you don't take away the incentive leverage. And the West did that immediately by going crazy with what looks like a hysterical global reaction to sanction Russia before. The United States was threatening to sanction them before anything happened. And so that's obviously a mistake, because that signaled to Russia that, well, might as well go ahead and execute our military objectives anyway and our political objectives. So that's the first mistake. The second mistake would be to, when you get into sanctioning the central bank of a country, when you get into seizing ships on the high sea, which we saw in the last couple of days in the English Channel, that's a prelude to a wider war. And if you look at history and you study it, this is exactly what happens when you start to interfere with commerce on the high seas in this way. And then there's the collective punishment aspect of it. Sanctions don't work. Look at any other example of this, from Iran to Syria. And there's so many other examples. They actually don't work over time, because if you're still threatening a country, there's no incentive for them to change their behavior. If you do lobby sanctions, that's just like basic sanctions theory. But it's amazing how our politicians haven't read the textbooks at all. They just use it as a sort of cudgel to think that they're going to change a country's behavior when in fact they don't. So from that point of view, I think it's a very dangerous road we're going on here. And basically no sanctioning world leaders so they can't travel for negotiations. This might become a problem. Because if Ukraine and Russia can't sit at a table because they can't meet in Switzerland or they can't meet in Germany or some other neutral place, then the conflict will drag on. And so that's going to add to the complications and the problems. These things aren't often thought about, unfortunately, by our political leaders. So there's that aspect of it. And also, there's no context to this at all. The United Nations Resolution 2202 was backing the Minsk Accords. That was the mandate of the United Nations. And that's 7-8 years dragged on. And the guarantors of that, Germany and France in the Normandy format, they didn't enforce it. And Ukraine's open position was they're not going to abide by the Minsk Accords, which was mandated by the UN, which was to de-escalate and have a ceasefire in the Donbass. They just abandoned it. And now the Western media and Western politicians are accusing Russia of walking away from the Minsk Accords. And that's the opposite of what actually happened. So in this information environment, we have two different narratives, two completely polar opposite narratives being spoken of in the West and by Russia. There's very little chance that I think that we're going to get any diplomatic resolution on this. It's a very dangerous environment when both sides are not listening to each other and provable falsehoods are being spoken by leaders, in this case, by Western leaders as well. So this is not a really positive situation in that respect.
So I suppose my question in response, Patrick, is if you fear that sanctions at this stage are the wrong approach, then what would you consider the right approach to be from Western leaders?
The right approach would have been to follow the United Nations directive on the Minsk peace process. Then we wouldn't have gotten to this point to begin with. And at every turn, the United States actively undermine that. Britain pretty much looked the other way, acted like they didn't know anything about it. No pressure was put on Kiev to realize this peace process. There's 14,000 residents in the Donbass have been killed, residents and soldiers on both sides. So collectively, 14,000 victims, many of them civilians, and are being shelled to this day still. This is Russia's beef. And I find it amazing that this context is not even being spoken of on any mainstream media outlet in the West or from any politician. It's almost like they've canceled the people of the Donbass. They've kind of like disappeared them. They've dehumanized them in that sense. So these are people that have been under siege, as it were, from the Ukrainian military, from their own government in a bloody civil war for 8 years. That counts for nothing in the current discourse in the West. It's quite astonishing. So, of course, they're not going to be able to communicate with Moscow on this. So what's Moscow looking at this and saying, well, they don't care about the United Nations resolution. They don't care about the people of the Donbass. They don't care about the humanitarian disaster, the embargo. They've taken out electric. The Ukrainian army has hit the water supply. They've blockaded food going in there. I mean, it's a dire situation. And now the West is saying we need to ship weapons into the Ukraine, more weapons, more arms. And so that's effectively a proxy war, NATO versus Russia, using the Ukraine as the proxy. So any way you add it up, that's how it is on paper. So I really can't understand how this conversation hasn't developed to any kind of a sober.
About GB News, Patrick, is that we can have these conversations and go places that the other news channels don't. Well, I'm afraid our time is up, Patrick. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we'll go quickly to a break, after which we will be speaking about the threat of war in countries bordering Russia and Ukraine. So don't go anywhere.
So, yeah, it's just insane. It really is. It's like no matter where you go, context is missing. That is vital, basic, fundamental 101 stuff. It's like no matter what subject. And we are building, when he said prelude to a war, I mean, for 8 years, did you hear that? Water is being shut off from these republics. And on the one hand, you say civil war. Civil wars are civil wars. I get it. But on the other hand, they specifically were being told to de-escalate, and they are not. And now, with that context being ignored, you talk about Distraction City from all the war criminals from the last 2.5 years, because they are all war criminals, international-level criminals, Fauci and others. But imagine if we do start arming the Ukraine. You have a proxy war that gives Russia nothing to lose. I mean, I guess they could always just pull out. I mean, it was probably, in their opinion, a humanitarian war. And I don't know enough about the war. Maybe they're saying, well, if you're going to mess with the republic, we're going to take your whole country. You know, you're going to mess with these republics and the other thing, too, imagine how incredibly naive to a longstanding principle of course you can recognize or not recognize places diplomatically. And we put sanctions on Russian politicians for merely voting on something that is what legislators do. I mean, how much more you don't get to have an opinion can it be than that? Certain legislators said we recognize them. Enough of them said we recognize them that it passed. And individual legislators and then the body itself or Russia itself was sanctioned. Yeah. So anyway, it's just hilarious to me that I probably, in delving into it for 2 minutes, just gave you more context than you've been given in the entire scenario. I have a work buddy who's been in two different branches of service, and he went back into the service upon 9/11, and he doesn't know this context because I've talked to him briefly because he's all like, well, you know what? When innocents die, that means those people should die. It's like, yeah, I get it. That's a war criminal. When you specifically target individuals who are harmless, then yes, but that becomes the fog of war, right? The fog of war is if you will sacrifice an apartment building in your own country, which is a possibility. These things have happened before with false intelligence and to see if they'll fall for it. And the enemy blows up an apartment building that they thought was some kind of militarily important compound. So these things happen, but this guy knows a little bit of war history, this coworker, and he didn't mention any of this stuff. I said to him yesterday, I said, well, the thing is, for me, whenever almost the entire narrative in the mainstream media that's lied to us for a long time, but in the last 2 years, it's been 100% lies. I mean, zero context on anything. Whenever they're telling me again, there is zero context to be considered here. There's exactly one good guy and one bad guy. I say I lean towards That probably isn't true, but I'm certainly not believing it on its face value. But I haven't looked yet. So then I look for 2 minutes and find hyper-important context for this. Yeah, we're going to end up having a proxy war that becomes the excuse for all these asshole news outlets to not have to cover the true calamity for the last 2.5 years. I'm not saying this isn't a calamity. It is a regional calamity. The last one was a world one, okay? And we still have not punished those folks. So if we get into a proxy war, if you think that I know for sure that I wouldn't suspect that, hey, why not make distraction by trying to do things that would ratchet up Russia and make them want to enter a war for genuine reasons? If you think that I would put that away as a possibility, not in a million years. Just this context enough. And even before this context, I wondered that. But now that I know they're doing things like, yeah, screw diplomacy, and then let's miscontextualize everything and take one side only and not even discuss the rest of it. Well, you know, that's where we are. I mean, in many ways, it seems like, at least for our information war, let's go that far. In our information war, over and over again, we're the bad guys. If you want to say our institutions, our political leaders should be giving this context, but they're too busy doing narrative instead of facts. You know, there's no more. It's like with social media. Like, no, you can't give context. You got to be either pissed off or love it. Therefore, you got to hate somebody and then you got to love somebody else. Nobody analyzes anymore. That we have to go quick take city like it's a stupid sports talk show instead of going, well, here's the full story. And again, I'm not saying that I know enough to know Russia isn't in the wrong on the whole, but to act like all they were doing is trying to be greedy imperialists and that they're 100% the bad guys and that we must arm Ukraine, and nowhere in there do you hear people talk about an accord that Ukraine has ignored from the beginning and instead engaged in armed conflict for 8 years? I mean, I knew that there was something going on in Ukraine, but you'd think that context would be a pretty clear part of any discussion. But no, and that's, again, don't even bother to read the headlines. Go find something that at least says there's more to it than this and read that. Because what every news story should be talking about, and or, you know, one quarter or one half of the news stories, so that if you just generally consume the media, you should understand the context. Instead, it's almost never there, and you have to go specifically search out stories that will just give basic context. It's quick take city everywhere, all the way up to our diplomacy. I just don't know how we get it back. You kind of thought, oh, well, we have a reprieve. Maybe these jackholes will go to prison. We have special counsels being very careful about all of the stuff that happened with Russiagate and so on, so that maybe it can pursue, because as soon as he does anything ever so slightly wrong, then he'll be kicked off as special counsel. These things might finally come to pass as people being punished. And so you kind of think maybe we'll get back to normal. Well, normal is our politicians just doing hot takes and ignoring context at all cost. Normal is Pelosi acting like a freaking drugged baboon cheerleader at a State of the Union address. This is where we are, and I don't know how we get it back. But anyway, important context, more than you probably heard if you've listened to the last 75 hours of CNN. Of them broadcasting anything about Ukraine, Russia. Okay, guys, that's it for me. Thanks for listening.